Yes, best news I've heard today, the high school class are staying in. Good job. It is really good to be here, and I realise that I know a lot of you people nowadays. They just seem to know most of you. Nice to see Herrick's here too. A couple of little items here before I get started, if I can remember what they were. Oh yeah. I Carol and I both really appreciate your prayer for the time I went through this cancer thing. And a couple of weeks ago I had the reports, as you know, most of you, and they said that the blood tests and the CAT scan was perfect, and I don't have to go back for 6 months, and I've passed the 2-year critical point. So I believe that the Lord has given me some more time to serve him, not sit around and do nothing. So I'm pretty much booked solid, and just a very, very busy time. Now, one other item. As you know, I've preached walking by faith, trusting the Lord. And we've been going now since, it's over 40 years, I guess, and just trusting the Lord by faith. And a few weeks ago we had a very dark day, as it were. Some people who have supported us for years sent a note saying they were going to stop because I hate these things. I do, seriously. I've been to conferences. I was at a conference recently, and the problems they had with the electronics, it's unbelievable. You know, the guy puts the wrong verse up and all of that. You can't sing the tune. You can't sing, where was I? So we had a dark day. These people said they weren't going to support us anymore because they wanted to support someone else. They said, you'll be okay. Yeah, well, we would be, because we've been trusting the Lord for years. And then that same day, we have got, over the years, we've got support from England, and it's gone down and down and down. Of course, these things happen. And it got down to $37.40. So it was a bit of a dark day, but we weren't worried, because you know what? We've trusted the Lord all of these years. And a couple of days later, here comes an unexpected gift from a very strange group. What's their name now? Grace and Truth, that was them, in Windsor. Out of the blue. Now, we use the phrase out of the blue, but actually, the out of the blue means that the Spirit of God prompted someone's heart, and someone responded to the Lord to meet the need that had been dropped in another part, partially anyway. But that always just thrills our hearts, it really does, and I want to thank you, and Carol, and I want to thank you. You folks, for many years now, have been a tremendous blessing and encouragement to us. The Lord's answered prayer with the sickness and so forth and so on, and we keep on going. I just would like you to pray for my health and Carol's health, just for strength and leading and guidance to continue on serving him until he comes or until he takes us home. Now then. Tonight, and I don't know how many of you come out in the evening, but I want to urge you to come tonight, because we're going to depend on you for the evening meeting. Let me explain myself. when I found out what we were talking about today, which is discipleship, I was talking to Carol about that, and I've been doing that for about 50 years. And been involved in New Tribes Mission, and started a church or an assembly rather, I'm still meeting with individuals, and I've just been doing it for years and years and years. I'm still learning, of course, but I thought this, you know what would be a good thing, I'm going to do something this morning and say some things this morning. And then I thought that what you could do, if you want to take part, is just come tonight with any questions that you might have on the whole area of New Testament church, shepherding, which I prefer to call it, discipleship, whatever you want to call it, anything to do with that, because what we have here is a very, very, very important situation. I have the privilege, when I come down here these days, of staying with Marcus and Nelly. I don't understand a word they're saying, but you know, we get by. He showed me last night, he showed me a picture, a plan, a design of some massive structure that his company are doing for Pearson Airport, for Air Canada. And I am very impressed with that, because I can hardly draw a straight line unless I've got a ruler. And so it's that kind of thing. But I got thinking about it, and I thought, you know, well, what about if Marcus's company said they've got this job to do, and a whole bunch of us who don't know anything about it decided to get involved and help him, you know, what a mess it would be if we all came in with our ideas, not knowing what we were doing. It appears to me that what's essential is that whoever's doing that building, it better be right. It better be fundamentally sound. It better be built on sound principles and all of those things. It needs to be. And you don't want someone like me interfering. No ideas, because that wouldn't go well. But it's amazing, because that's what we do with the church. We throw any ideas in about anything, and it doesn't make any sense. But it's so important for the salvation of souls. So I'm going to give you today... You may say, well, Ray, you've driven down here and this is about as simple as it can get. Well, you know what? Sometimes I think we've got to get back to some basics. And we've got to look, what do we have here? So I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts chapter 1, if you will. And I'm going to attempt to finish on time, so I'm going to keep it simple and keep it brief, but I want to make a point here. A real point, and then say, well, where do we go from here with this point? And particularly for you younger folks, this is very, very, very important. What is this thing called the church? What is this thing we call an assembly? What are we? I don't even know what we're supposed to call it. We started a work over in England called Garforth Evangelical Church. We didn't know we weren't supposed to call it a church then, so that's what we call it. I still call that today. What is it? What are we talking about here? Let's get in our minds. What is God's plan? What does he say here? And how important is it? I tell you what, folks, it's a life and death situation. And it's a life and death situation because souls depend on it. Souls spending eternity, either in heaven or hell, depend on what we do with this. It's very, very important. Very pleased to hear from Brother Mike that you're going down, you're having a barbecue right there in the city. Oh, my word. Get down there, get some tracks with you, and attach yourself to people and talk to them about the gospel. The Lord can open up the way for you. I encourage you to do that. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, and commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, says he, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, if you turn over, if you would, to Acts chapter 2, what happened after that was the Holy Spirit did come, Pentecost, and the gospel was preached. And verse 41 says, when they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and good, imparted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It mentions there, added to the church daily should be saved. Well, we hear a lot about church these days. We hear about going to church. People say they're going to go to church. We hear about churches. We hear about people being churched or unchurched. When we attend a meeting, sometimes we call it church. A lot of times it depends where you grew up. But what in the world is the church? And I think this is a simple question that most of us know, but sometimes maybe we need reminding, maybe a little history lesson here. Yep, the Oxford Dictionary says that it's a building for Christian worship, which is probably where we get our problems from. Another thing it says, it's a body of all Christians. And then another thing it could be, is they say, is an organization of clergy and other officers. That's what the Oxford Dictionary says. And I like the Oxford Dictionary, but I don't particularly like that definition. But let's just look for a brief second here. The word that we often use for church is probably connected with a work, actually word kirk, which is what the Scottish people use when they call the church the kirk. And that's the word that they use. The Latin word was the word circulus or circus. And it was actually kukos is the actual word, but it was used because the congregation gathered in circles. They sat around in circles and groups, and so they called it, that's what they called it, a church. And it's interesting that how we come up with these different words, but the actual word that the New Testament uses is a word, Greek word, ekklesia, or ecclesia, whichever you want to pronounce it, whichever way you want to pronounce it. And that just originally meant an assembly called together by the magistrates or by any legitimate authority. It was just a people called together. And it was adopted by the writers of the New Testament to speak of believers gathered together, called out of the world, as it were, gathered together as an assembly of the Lord's people. Now, so we call them called out ones. So basically the church is made up of a group of people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, called out from the world, and we gather together. That's basically who we are. So the church actually, by definition, is not a building or an official body. It's actually a group of people, the believers. That's who we are, the church. Now, who are these people? And I don't know you all this morning, but what have you done this morning? Have you come to church? What have you done? Are you churched or unchurched? Or how do you see yourself? I think what we have to do is we have to define what that actually means. What does it mean? You see, you can be sitting here, but not be part of that outcalled group. So you can be sit here, you can actually sit here and not be a Christian this morning. You can sit here and not even be saved this morning. Appreciate what our brother did, what you did up there, brother, was excellent. A lot of thought went into that, by the way. That was just excellent. I really appreciate that. But who are these people? Well, they are people, just ordinary folks from every walk of life, just like you and me. Back then, here they were from every walk of life, and they were just ordinary people, just like you and me. And these outcalled ones here, though, they're true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they have trusted him for salvation, and they now belong to the church, the true church, which is the body of believers, which is in fact simply a group of believers. Now, as I said, you can attend a kirk, you can go to meetings, you can put money in an offering, but you will never be part of the real church until you realize that you are a needy sinner and have trusted Christ for salvation. And that's something that we want to stop there, and we want to ask ourselves. I don't know all you personally, but I do know it's absolutely imperative that you are saved, that you realize that we are all sinners. We all need to be saved, and Christ died on Calvary's cross for our sins. And the way we become part of the body of Christ, part of the true church, is simply by becoming saved, by belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a person is saved, they are immediately indwelt by the Holy Spirit and have new life. And the church, that group, becomes the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about being born again, which is a phrase that's mocked by a lot of people out in the world, born again just means that we have new life. That's what we have. We have the very life of Christ indwelling us in and through the Holy Spirit. And what that is like a newborn baby with new life, and the Holy Spirit begins to teach us a bit at a time. And this concept of teaching and learning is absolutely vital. I always say amused, because I'm not sure if it amuses me or not, you see people and they get saved, and because they're famous and well known or something like that, immediately they're put in a position of authority and even write books. And I think that's absolutely amazing. When you become saved, you become a baby in Christ. There's so much you don't know. You may be wise in the things of the world, you may know a lot of things as far as the world is concerned, but when you become saved, you become a baby in Christ, and you start to learn. And the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us, and he teaches us in particular ways through the Word of God, through the saints, and so forth. We'll look at that in a little while. But we become indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and listen to this. He is the one who, according to John 16, will guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit. Not following this group or that group or any other group, just kind of get it, because there's thousands of groups out there. The Spirit of God will be faithful. And what I like to see, and I'd love to see, is when you get to an assembly, and it's very, very evident that the Spirit of God is leading. In the first meeting particularly, I would say, but even in the messages or the hymns or whatever, it's so good to see that. Because there's many organizations, you can have organizations, but it must be Spirit-led. And he will guide us into all truth. And also, as we looked at this first meeting this morning, he will point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we need to know most of all of us, is in our own lives, we need to know more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit in your lives individually will point you and keep on pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the wonderful things. I want to tell you this, particularly to you young folks. Here, you are indwelt by the Spirit of God, and all you need to do is you help. Lord, help me, I don't understand that. You know, Ray Jones comes here and speaks in flawless English, but I don't understand what he was saying. Well, nearly flawless anyway. But that's the wonderful thing. You are indwelt by the very author of the book, and all you have to do is pray, Lord, I don't understand. But he's given us provision to help us understand, which we're going to get into a little while. So he will point us to Christ, and listen to this, and he, the Holy Spirit, will provide power for us to walk in the Spirit, and power for us for Christian service. You see, I've been serving the Lord with my wife now for I don't know how many years, too many years. I'll have been saved 60 years in October. And I look back at all of the things that have happened, and quite frankly, to be real honest with you, it's embarrassing. You know, because to look back and to see what the Lord has done in and through us is quite amazing in some ways. But the truth is that I'm a little lad from a little village in England, not highly educated or anything like that, and somehow the Lord said, you know, according to 1 Corinthians, takes the foolishness of the world to confound the wise and the mighty. And as we've walked with the Lord over the years, the Lord has provided for us, led us, guided us, etc., etc. And the truth is that all glory and praise has to go to him. You know, it's when we start to think we're something special, we're really not. I came to the understanding some years ago that I can't even live the Christian life. You know, it's got to be Christ living his life through me. I wish I'd studied Galatians 2:20 years ago, understood, because Paul said, I live, nevertheless, not I, but Christ lives in me. So every one of us who are saved can go away from here. And I do it every morning. I get up every morning, and I basically, you may say, well, it's kind of defeatist or hopeless. But Lord, it's got to be you. See, what could, what, seriously, what can I come here and say this morning in my own energy and my own strength that will be a blessing and encouragement to you. What can I say? Nothing, because I don't know. I have no idea what's going on in your life. But I tell you what, the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and He can apply it to your life. And He can use this time here and this evening, hopefully, if you come. And He can use that to help you to grow and be encouraged. Zechariah verse 4 says this, not by might nor by my power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We have to stop and think, you know, that's how it is. It's got to be by His Spirit. See, when the Lord said He was going to go, He was going to leave, but He was going to send the Holy Spirit, and it would be the Holy Spirit who would convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It would be the Holy Spirit who would indwell us as people and teach us and guide us and lead us and point us to Christ. Do you understand eschatology? Do you even know what the word means? Well, it means the Lord coming again and all that kind of stuff, end time things. Guess what it says? He will teach you things to come. The Spirit of God can straighten that thing out for us. It's amazing. I love that. And so in Psalm 127 verse 1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So we can have all our plans and our meetings and our ideas and stuff like that, but I'll tell you what, unless we walk in the Spirit, unless we allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide and direct us, I want to tell you, it's just man's building. That's all it is. And it means nothing. It means nothing. So what you have is, what is the church? What is the gathering of people? It's outcalled ones. Who are these outcalled ones? They are people who are indwelt by the Spirit of God. And His desire is to teach us and lead us and point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you, folks, it thrills my heart. Because here I am, I'm an old man, I'm 75 and past my sell-by date and all that stuff. You know what? The thing that's thrilled me more and more and more is getting to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not having a lot of knowledge or anything, because I don't even know what modern knowledge I have or don't have. But it's getting to know Him. Sweeter as the days go by. Do you know, I've sung that hymn many, many times over the years. But I didn't experience the truth of it until the last few years. More and more, it's got to be the Lord, got to be the Lord. So we've got, what is the church? Who are these people? Well, these people are real Christians, and guess what? They're real Christians who assemble together. So that's what we call them. We call them assemblies. Works for us. It's good. It's a very, very good name. It doesn't confuse anything. A group of Christians who assemble together. And so we call ourselves assemblies, and that is the church. A group of believers all getting together. But why? And here we start getting to the important stuff. You're okay for time. We're all right. We're tracking fairly well. Just think of your questions and bring them along tonight about anything. What is the purpose? Why do we come? Now, this is where I find a lot of battle going on. Now, I may not get invited back after this, but I'm going to tell you this, folks. This is not an entertainment center. This is not a place where we want to make pleasant for the world to come into. It isn't at all. I was involved in a place some time ago, which I'm no longer invited back to. Which I'm not unhappy about. And some people there, when they moved, they moved from a not very attractive building to a very attractive building. It had belonged to a denomination, and it was a very nice building, and it had pews, would you believe? It had pews. And they were more old-fashioned pews than yours. But when they moved, some of the people kind of left the worship books out. For the first meeting, they kind of left them really. And then one night they had a meeting and they went back there on a Thursday night, and guess what? Some of the pews had been removed. Some of the people decided, well, it looked too churchy. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean, too churchy? And they had an agenda, And they have pushed that agenda and pushed that agenda, so that now the Bible believing people have left and gone elsewhere, and it's become a community church. We're not trying to attract the world in. You know, you will find nowhere in the New Testament where that's applied. What the gathering of the church is for, the gathering of the saints, the assembling of the saints, what that is for is to grow and to build and to be equipped for ministry out there. You see, so we gather together, and long as the seating and stuff like that is adequate, and whatever you want to do with that, I don't get involved in that stuff at all. I like to have air conditioning, because otherwise it makes it uncomfortable and people don't listen. So, you know, whatever. But it just needs to be a place adequate for us to meet together, to learn and to grow. That's all it needs. I was involved with the New Transmission for some years, and a lot of their regional principals were just excellent. They would go into a village, and they wouldn't build a church in a village. Just that wasn't what they were there for. Now, sometimes the natives would come up with the idea, we can't sit around the campfire anymore because it rains and so forth and so on, and this hut isn't big enough, so we need a bigger hut. So they would decide to build a bigger hut just to accommodate meeting together, and that's all it took, you see. And so why do we get, what is the purpose of this, of the assembly? What is the purpose? We become children of God, and children need to grow. We need to grow, we need to feed. Now, this is an amazing thing, because you a lot of you have had children and so forth and so on, and so why we're ignorant of this concept, I have no idea. Because anyone who had children, been around children, or even been a child, knows that growing up children is a process. And you don't give them steak when they're a week old, do you? Mind you, if you go with Marcus, there's no telling what he'll give you. However, you feed them properly, don't you? I mean, is this 101? Seriously? I mean, bringing children up is very important stuff. You don't give them stuff that's going to choke them. You give them stuff that they can handle, and you watch them grow and mature and so forth and so on. And you're concerned if that's not happening. You make sure that they're feeding right and so forth and so on. Some of us, our parents, did too good of a job on it. Or we didn't learn something along with it, that we grew too much. Anyway, that's beside the point. But we need to feed and we need to grow. And we don't need to guess on this one, because there is a clear pattern that's taught. A clear pattern that's taught. It's not something, well, it depends what your idea is. You don't have a choice about what the idea is. You've been told what to do. We've been told what to do. The Lord has left very, very clear instructions on what to do. We need to be taught. We need to be discipled. Now, I got a chat with Marcus about this. I was talking about the word discipleship. I'm just going to throw this out. You can do what you like with it. But the word disciple isn't used past Acts chapter 26. And disciple is not in the word anyway. But the reason for that is this, that the word disciple just means a follower of the Lord. That's all it means. Judas was a follower of the Lord. And it says that there were many who were followers of the Lord who went back, didn't follow him anymore. There's one denomination that my daughter is involved in, and they now call themselves Christ followers. But it's interesting to me that after they stopped using the word disciple, later on they decided to call those who met together, they called them Christians. And I prefer still to use the word Christians. Now you say, well, you're being picky. Okay, I didn't say I was perfect. You know, but I think, well, why does the word do that? There's a reason for it. And so I use the word shepherding. And I love that, because the shepherd knows his sheep and they are known of him. It is a relationship there. And we need to be taught by the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, who does that. Now, Acts 1, that we read, part of it anyway, Acts 1 promises promised 120 believers that he would send the Holy Spirit. Now, prior to that, the Lord Jesus Christ himself walked along with these 12 disciples. He taught them for 3 years. Man, that's fascinating to see what he did. The way he handled that was incredible. I love that. They'd get fighting and scrapping together and ask and getting very, very childish, which is what we do sometimes. And he would wait till he got home, and then he would sit down and he would say, what was that you were talking about along the road? And then he would teach them. The Lord's teaching methods was mostly asking questions. Love it. Absolutely excellent. So the Lord promised 120 gathered there that he would send the Holy Spirit. 10 days later, that promise was fulfilled. And the Holy Spirit came. And we're told that it was with wind and fire. Now, there's a lot of nonsense talked about that particular subject. But I promise you this, that there was no curtains blowing and there was no chairs blown through the walls or anything like that. I don't believe there was even a breeze. I believe that there was a sound like rushing mighty wind. That is an awesome sound, and what it speaks of is power. The Spirit of God came in power. And then it tells us that there were lights, flames, as it were, sitting on the top of their heads. Now, you'll be glad to know this, particularly those who are follically challenged, that there were no burning. They didn't get burned or anything like that. Why? Because he was talking about light. So the Spirit of God came in power, and he came in light, and guess who indwells you personally? So the question is, are you walking in the Spirit? Can you walk in the Spirit? What does it take to walk in the Spirit? Okay, we might get to that later on too. Tonight. Okay, tonight. So 10 days later, the promise was fulfilled. They immediately began to share the gospel, and many souls were saved. Because salvation is a work of the Holy Spirit. You see? It is. You can go down to wherever it is you're going down in the middle of town, with all your ideas and your 4 points, you know, whatever it is. And you know, I hope the Lord can use that. But I'll tell you this, if you go down there and say, Lord, lead me to some soul and allow him to work through you, then you'll see some fruit. You will. Then you'll see some fruit. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 43 here, the Christians began to assemble together. The Christians began to assemble together, okay? And it said that they continued steadfastly. This was important stuff. In fact, they were there every day. Now you say, well, we should do that. No, that was then. But what needed to happen was that these people needed to split up, which they did in Acts chapter 13, and no, 7 and 7 rather, and then more chapter 13. Split up into all walks of life everywhere, etc., etc. We weren't supposed to stay in one group of a huge bunch. This was just the beginning. But the principles were there, and the principles were this. They were to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. And the objective of that and the result of that was that more souls were saved. More souls were saved. And that was the purpose of the church. That's the purpose of the assembly. That's the purpose of us gathering together. Now listen to this. Here it is. You see this. Here's the purpose. Evangelism, salvation, learning, fellowship, worship, prayer, evangelism. Read that again. Evangelism, salvation, learning, fellowship, worship, prayer, evangelism. So the whole point of being together and gathering together is to become equipped to get out there and share the gospel. And I'm not going to ask anyone to raise your hand or anything like this, but I'm going to ask you this: are you seeing any souls saved? Are you witnessing to anybody? Do you share the gospel, or do you take opportunities that the Lord's give you? How's it going? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you walking in the Spirit? And it's not something, we're not comparing, etc. Because, you know, when you compare one another with each other, you're not wise, according to what Paul said. But I know this, that the Lord wants to use every single one of us to reach souls for him, to bear fruit, to be a blessing to this lost world. And folks, it's a mess out there. I tell you, the killing, the morals, it's just unbelievable what's going on out there. And I tell you what, the answer is the church. The answer is a spirit-led assembly. And it's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. And we're talking about shepherding. We're going to talk about that this evening. Very, very, very important. And I'm going to talk about how it's done, what we do. I'm not going to deal with your last chapter, by the way, because I think that whoever's been doing it has probably done a great job with the book, etc. And for me to then dive in, I don't think I would do a very good job anyway. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about some stuff from my own experience. But I want you to come and ask questions, as many as you want and as hard as you want. I don't care how hard they are. Makes no difference to me, because if I can't answer them, I should just give it over to Marcus and he'll have to. But we're going to talk about shepherding. And what that means is, listen to this, it means this, that shepherding is that you become, you, don't nudge the person next to you, if he's asleep, nudge him, it's all right. You become actively involved in your assembly. Listen to this, you become actively involved in your assembly, continuing steadfastly, deliberately, diligently, continually, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, learning the word of God. What does the word of God say about things? I told these guys, I'm taking a Bible study, and one of the elders there is an absolute pain in the neck, because he's an intellectual and I don't think he knows as much as he thinks he knows. And I'm going to kill him before long. I didn't just say that, did I? So, I was talking the other day, and I told Marcus this earlier. I talked about a verse, and Romans 5:10. I said this. I said, it says in Romans 5:10. Just as we've been saved by his life, no, by his death, thank you. By his death, so shall we be saved by his life. And I simply said, what does that mean? As we've been saved by his death, well, we know what that means, don't we? His death on Calvary's cross. So shall we be saved by his life. So Mr. Intellectual said, well, it says, it could be before he was crucified, it could be at the crucifixion, it could be at the resurrection. He says, so there are no wrong answers. Really? Well, that was the wrong answer right there. You see, if a verse says something, look what it says. If it says something happened, and then it says something will happen, guess what that means? It will happen. And when it says we shall be saved by his life, it means that he ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. Every one of us. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is praying for you? Right now, face to face with God the Father. With you, and you know why? Because you are very needy. I am too, just in case you were wondering. We're all needy. I've told people before, and I sent them into shock. I said, do you know? I may have told you this before too, because I probably have. Do you know, my prayer life is 2/3 perfect. My prayer life. How many of you can say that your prayer life is 2/3 perfect? How many of you? Come on. None of you. You are a miserable bunch. See, there's two things about that. Number one is that you weren't listening last time I told you this. Number two is that you're missing something. Because my Bible says that the Spirit of God prays for me with words that can't be uttered. That's the Holy Spirit. That's 1/3. And then in 1 John it says that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous who prays for us. That's 2/3. Is that 2/3 perfect? Is that anybody? Thank you. Is anybody here, does anybody here know that the Holy Spirit and the Son of God is praying for them? Anybody know that? Two of you. Good. Oh, well. You should read it. It's in the book. People say you should watch this movie. I don't need to. I read the book. So here we are. It's nearly time. Okay, so we continue in the Apostles' Doctrine. We learn together. We fellowship together. That means they enjoyed all that they have in common together. What do we have in common together? Who do we have in common together? We have the Word of God. We have the Son of God. We have all of the Lord's people. The most important thing is what we have in common together. It's vital that we fellowship together. And I'll be real mean with you because I can do that because I'm leaving. I understand why we avoid fellowship together. We come for our 10 cents worth on Sunday morning and then you don't see us anymore. What's that all about? We need fellowship one with another. We do. I love coming down here. I really do. I enjoy. And I get with Marcus and Nelly and we have a great time. I mean, we just enjoy real good fellowship together. Brother Sam came at the conference up in Guelph the other day. Guess what? We got together and immediately we had a great time of fellowship together. There's nothing like Christian fellowship. Absolutely nothing like so. Apostle doctrine and fellowship. Breaking of bread. They ate together anyway, meals, but they also broke bread, remembered the Lord together. Worship service, remembering the Lord, and the last thing is they prayed together. Not, oh, we have to pray. We have to go to prayer. I never did know where that was, by the way. Because let us go to prayer. I don't know where that is. We pray, we talk to the Lord, we ask the Lord, we ask Him. Lord, a lot of my prayers are pathetic. Really, seriously, I've got to tell you. Because I just say, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know, seriously, and I don't, honest. All we can be is vessels fit for His use. And I'm going to quit there. And I really hope that some of you come. I don't care what kind of question you ask. Ask whatever you like. I don't care. But let's talk about how can we be discipled? How can we be shepherded? How can we be taught? How can we grow? And how can the assembly be fully used for the purpose it's supposed to be used for? And that is the equipping of the saints for the ministry. Love you, folks. In the Lord's will, I will come back again sometime. Sam, why don't you close in prayer? I've run out of energy.